It's the number of times the words I and my show up in the passage. What shall I do? I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger ones. These are my crops, my barns, my surplus grain. And depending on your translation, even in verse 20, the NIV says, I will say to myself. Other translations will say, I will say to my soul. The parable paints a picture of a man who sees everything as his own. The whole world revolves around him. And of course, this is done to emphasize the fact, as we've mentioned, that this isn't the case, right? It's rhetorical in that sense. What he has, all his possessions, ultimately are God's that have been entrusted to him, but he's mistaking it as his own. The use of my soul in verse 20 is significant because in verse 21, where the NIV has, this very night your life will be demanded from you, the other translations say, this very night your soul will be demanded from you. It repeats, and we lose that wordplay in the NIV. Not just his possessions, but he thinks his soul, his life, he thinks his life is his own. And God says no. Even your life? That's for me to decide. And so sometimes maybe we do forget that our lives are not our own, when really even our lives are a gift from God. And so this parable uses this wordplay of repeating I, my, to draw attention to the fact that no, it's not yours. Not just your possessions, but your time, your skills, your gifts, all the things that you have, tangible and intangible. All of these things are entrusted to us, not our own, but entrusted to us by God to be used for his purposes. And so as you read this parable, you want to be asking yourself, what am I doing with what I have? When I have an abundance, am I hoarding it? Or am I finding ways to be using that generously for other people? Is there someone I can be supporting? Maybe talking to them, maybe financially? Do I have time that I can be giving away to someone else? Do I have skills that can be used to serve? And if so, how is God calling me to use it? Now, having said that, I know that for us in this church, a lot of us do this already. I know that so many of us already give away so much of our time to serve in different ways. When we have an abundance, we do take this message seriously and generously give away our time and energy. And that is such a blessing to be in this community. But now I want to address somewhat of a tangent to this parable. You see, it's all good to be reminded and encouraged to give when we're in a place of abundance. But what if we're not in that place? What if we're in a place where we feel like we genuinely have nothing to give? Like I mentioned earlier, I've been having conversations with people and hearing that maybe there's a number of us who aren't feeling like they're in that position of this man right now. We don't feel like we're standing out in front of a field and looking into fields of abundant harvest. What we're doing is we're standing there looking out and all we see are empty land. Yeah, all we see is empty fields. Our heart is there. We want to be giving. God has done that work in our hearts. He has sent His Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts. He's changed us. He's given us this new perspective of His upside-down kingdom. So we know that we should be helping out. We should be giving generously, but we're just in that place where we don't have anything to give. We look out, and the fields are empty. We might be running on fumes, and you don't have anything to give. So what then? And in asking these questions, in trying to come to grips, for me, I've been trying to come to grips with the workload and the expectations of being a pastor. And so, I was drawn to this passage instead. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Maybe you're struggling with a relationship issue. Maybe it's boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's just a friend, even. Those are relationships too. Maybe something's broken down in that relationship, and you're trying to fix it by yourself. It's hard, but I can do it. It's my problem. I can fix it. Or maybe you're struggling with workload. You've got assignments or exams coming up, and you have so much material to get through. Or you have a deadline at work and projects that have deliverables with deadlines. I just need to get through this essay. I just need to finish my sermon. I just need to push through this last bit to get it over the line. Maybe you're struggling with expectations. Maybe you've got a weight on your shoulders. Maybe someone had said that if you really were good enough, you'd be able to get whatever it is done. And so you say, "I can manage. These are my responsibilities." Or maybe you're just struggling in this semi-post-COVID season. All these masks and lockdowns and working from home and doing everything through a screen. It's changed how we live. It's changed our routines. But we try to tell ourselves, "I can do it if only I push that little bit harder. If only I get up a little bit earlier. If only I find my motivation." And it was interesting thinking about this and writing this part of the sermon. I didn't realize this until I finished writing it out. Isn't that the same attitude as the rich man in the parable? I need to figure this out. I just need to fix my problems. See, the rich man was saying all this "I" and "my" when he was in abundance, hoarding all of God's blessings for himself. And on the flip side, it's interesting that maybe many of us have this instinct to hoard even when we're not in abundance. Even when we're hurting and broken, we still say, "These are my problems that I need to fix." And Jesus so amazingly says, "No, they're not. They're not your problems." He says, "Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Honestly, the lesson for me has just been, I need to learn to bring my burdens to Jesus. I don't know what it is. Is it pride? Maybe. Is it stubbornness? Is it selfishness? Or some form of it? There's something that stops me from being honest and raw before God. I am weary and tired and fatigued. And still, I try to carry my burdens by myself. When Jesus literally just says, if you are, in this translation, if you labor and are heavy laden, in NIV, if you are weary and burdened, then just come to me. Why is it so hard? And yet, when I finally get on my knees and lay it out before him, just pure, honest, laying out my heart bare, he does it. He does what he says. He gives rest for my soul. And when we read on in verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now that's important. Jesus takes our problems from us, yes. But that doesn't mean we can be like the rich man and just take it easy. It's not just offloading it. Jesus doesn't take our problems from us and then leave us to do whatever we want. He takes our problems, but he replaces it with his yoke. Now, in case you're not sure what a yoke is, it's what goes on the shoulders of oxen when they work farmland. In other words, it is a kind of burden in itself. It's something that you have to carry. And so here's an interesting paradox, right? Because there are Jesus gives us rest, but at the same time, he gives us something else to carry. So how does that work? And that question is answered in verse 30. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, God has decided that in this world, he will work through us. And part of that is what we remember today, is that he has sent his Holy Spirit into us so that we can be doing work for him. But if we try to work out what that is by ourselves, if we try to come up with our own ideas of what that is, if we try to do our own things, then we will run into problems. We will be doing things that God never intended us to do. And as a pastor, I am so aware of that all the time. It doesn't make it easy, but I'm aware of it. For example, when I sat down to write this sermon, I tackled it with my own strength. I did everything that I was supposed to. I read the passage early in the week. I took the time to meditate on its meaning. If you look on my desk, I have 4 thick volumes of commentaries on Luke, so I could make sure that the sermon was going to be theologically solid. I did the whole sermon writing thing and came up with 3 fancy headings that all start with the same letter so you would remember the sermon. And all of these things I did. But none of it made it into the sermon. Why? Because I took on all these challenges myself. It was my initiative. This was my burden and my yoke that I had chosen to carry. It wasn't Jesus' burden. It wasn't the work that he was giving me to do that was easy and light. It was my own pride, my own work, that I ended up weary and burdened. And so finally, yesterday, I brought it to Jesus, and he took this heavy burden that I created for myself. This burden to write a fancy theological sermon, and he gave me his yoke. His yoke and burden that is light and easy to simply speak out this experience of humbling myself and bring myself to him. Finding out from him what his yoke is and finding his rest. And so if you are struggling with weariness and burdens that are beyond your ability to handle, come to Jesus. Just like he invited you, he has rest for you. He has a yoke that is easy and light. Take that up instead. You don't have to carry what you've created for yourself anymore. And on the other hand, circling back to what we started with, if you are in a place of abundance, if you are standing at your fields and you're looking out and you have an abundant harvest, then be encouraged by that parable. Don't hoard that blessing, because there are people in this church, there are brothers and sisters in this room who are tired and hurting. Reach out. Be generous with your time and your love. And that's why we're a body. That's what we're here for. Right? That's why God sent the Holy Spirit to be with each of us. Jesus said, "Come, all you who are weary and burdened. Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." Let's learn to do that. So I'll invite the worship team to come up and lead us in a song now.